This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is Dr. Bart Fisher, co-director of the Ag and Food Policy Center at Texas A&M. We'll talk Farm Bill in just a moment. First off, Travis Harris is a producer from Central New Mexico, talks about the effect of dairies closing.
I've seen a lot here just recently. There's been a lot of dairies shutting down in our area and all across the state. And so that cuts out some of the places where we send our hay. I haven't personally dealt with the dairies for a while, but there's a lot of my neighbors that do. And without the dairies being going in the area, there's no place to send their hay. And so it has become a little challenging moving some hay.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by Dr. Bart Fisher. Bart is co-director of the Ag and Food Policy Center at Texas A&M. Bart, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Tony, great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Okay, and spent time in D.C. at the House Ag Committee. And by the way, one of the members that you worked for at the House Ag Committee, picking up an award from Farm Bureau recently, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Mr. Lucas, Chairman Lucas, who wrote the 2014 Farm Bill and who I had the good fortune of serving as his chief economist, he just picked up the Distinguished Service Award, the highest award for Farm Bureau. So excited for him. And on my part, grateful that I had the opportunity to work with him for 3.5 years on Capitol Hill.
Well, and here's what's kind of interesting. 10 years after writing that bill, we've only got one bill written in that time. Well, maybe we've had more than one bill written, but we've only voted and got one passed. That's the 2018 Farm Bill. No 2023 Farm Bill. So 2024 Farm Bill, maybe?
Heavy emphasis on maybe. Yeah, no, we've had one farm bill since then. Kind of, we're on this farm, this 5-year cycle now, and had the good fortune of working on that one as well for Chairman Conaway. But, last November, that bill was extended for a year. As you noted, Congress ended up not getting a 23 farm bill done. And so, they gave themselves, quite a bit of runway, to get it wrapped up in 2024. So, the 18 farm bill is extended all the way through September 30th of 2024. So most of the programs that are familiar, particular to your grower listeners, are in place, and that, you may very well want to talk through that because they've got to decide, just like they have in the past, they've got to make ARC and PLC decisions by March. But, so they've got, Congress has got the rest, until September 30th and really to the end of the calendar year to get this thing wrapped up. But man alive, you watch what's going on in Washington, D.C., and it's, you scratch your head and wonder if there's any way they're going to be able to get it. A lot of people are saying the right things, that the focus is on getting it done. But, man, there's a lot that could stand in the way of wrapping it up by the end of the year.
Well, I recall a comment that you made last year, and the comment was, and I hope I get the gist of it right here, but if Congress is not going to make improvements, it might not be a bad idea to just extend the Farm Bill. Are we looking at possible improvements to that 2018 bill?
Absolutely, and I realize that not everyone may agree with me on that point, but I still firmly believe it. Right, and I think there's a couple of things to think about here. In this Farm Bill in particular, it's sort of unique because a year ago this past fall, Congress passed the Inflation Reduction Act, and it was this big $20 billion infusion to the conservation title, but, focused more on climate change. And as a part of that, they reauthorized most of the conservation programs already. And so you have Title II of the Farm Bill, the conservation title, largely been reauthorized. You have the SNAP program, which makes up 83% of the Farm Bill. It's largely on autopilot. Congress reauthorizes it, but even if there's never, another Farm Bill, the appropriators can just keep funding the SNAP program. It's what's called an appropriated entitlement. You look at crop insurance in Title 11 of the Farm Bill. It's permanent law. If we don't have another Farm Bill, you still have crop insurance in place. And so, you start to look across the Farm Bill. Certainly, there's a lot of, smaller things that need to be reauthorized, but in terms of the big money items, the big mandatory spending items, as where the ag committee's largely focused, most of that is in Title I, right? And so a lot of the, don't be surprised if a lot of the attention you see is on Title I of this bill, because that's the one, that's the major money title that needs to be reauthorized. And so from my perspective, that's where all the attention is going to be. But, if we're not going to see the improvements that need to be made there, what's the point of locking status quo in for another 5 years? I mean, in that case, it's not going to work, right? I mean, we know that reference prices in Title I of the 18 Farm Bill have not kept up with inflation, right? All the chaos we saw post-COVID and supply chain disruptions and other things that have led to these, elevated inflation levels. I mean, all of that translates into ag, right? And so I think we're in this very unique situation where, there's an opportunity to make improvements. And if we don't, what's the point of locking in status quo for five more years? And so I still very much, firmly believe that. I think the challenge to your question, Tony, is anything being done? Certainly. I mean, and that's one of the beauties of this bill, right? There's several things going on under the surface, but the big question in this bill is, are there going to be reference price increases or not, right? It is really it's that simple of a question. The challenge then comes in between now and the end of the year, how do you fund it? And it's been fascinating to watch from the outside, because there is, everyone is sort of staking their political position right now, on how that gets done. I think we know what needs to be done. Reference prices need to be raised. The question is there the political will to find the funding to pay for it? And that's the million or multi-billion dollar question between now and the end of 2024.
Obviously, a farm bill will get support from both sides of the aisle, but you got to get the rule. I mean, there's just so many little steps along the way. Are you somewhat concerned?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and you and I could spend an hour talking about this, so I'll try to keep it short, But I mean, the first threshold question is, the question is, where does this money come from, right? And you have, to boil it down, you've got a couple of options, right? You either save from elsewhere in the farm bill, or you bring in new money, right? And so this, this question, the ship has sort of already sailed on this question of new money, which I think is important. And just to spend a couple of, a minute here on this point, I had an opportunity, at the invitation of the, Republican Study Committee, the largest caucus in the Republican Conference, to come up and debate, on this very point in front of the RSC this past summer. And to me, it's somewhat frustrating that the ship has already sailed on that question, right? Why? Because agriculture, it's one of the few things. I mean, we do this bill every 5 years, unlike a lot of the federal government that's on autopilot. Every 5 years, we scrutinize, we scrub, and look for ways, look to make sure things are running efficiently. And so if you take the 2014 Farm Bill, the first one I worked on, we cut $23 billion in that bill. But what we can't have long term is we can't have the agriculture community every 5 years being asked to try to balance the federal budget. Absent of a much bigger conversation on budget in this country, we can't balance the budget on the back of growers. And when they've been asked, they've done their part. And so now we're in a situation where the safety net's clearly not keeping up. My question is, why can't there be, why can't an investment be made there? And I think that, there's every justification for actually adding to Title I at this point. But I realize, politics being what they are, I can wish for that all day long, but I can also watch what's going on the House floor, right? And it's absolute gridlock, in part overspending. And so the problem is the ag community, despite doing its part, gets wrapped up in all of that. And I realize that's the political reality now. So where does that leave us? It leaves us looking elsewhere in the farm bill to come up with the savings to pay for it. And that's what I had mentioned earlier, where, from a political perspective, you have congressional leadership already kind of staking, driving their stake in the ground, on other areas of the farm bill, right? Where you have, for example, on the Senate side, Senator Bozeman has stated very clearly, you have others alongside him, like Senator Hoeven from North Dakota, who very clearly, very eloquently, made this point that we have to have reference price increases. You've had others, though, who say, well, all the other titles of the Farm Bill are off limits. And so I think if those hardened positions, particularly in terms of, of offsets, if they remain hardened, I just don't see that they're going to get this thing done by the end of the year. And so that's one major consideration. The other is, even if you step away from the budget challenges, there's just so many other pressures going on, not the least of which is an election in November, which, we had an election in the fall of 18. We lost the House. Republicans lost the House in the fall of 2018. you know, this is even more complicated because there's also a presidential election that's also going to suck out all the oxygen out of the room. And so, you know, I'm the eternal optimist. You know, there's no question we can get a farm bill done. But if you look at all of the things stacked up against it, you know, I'm not going to be remotely surprised if this doesn't get done in 2024.
What is it that that producers need to be focused on prior to starting the next growing season?
Absolutely. So first is that, you know, the election period, the enrollment and election and enrollment period for ARC and PLC is open right now. And so you have until March 15th, you know, to get into the county office to make this the ARC and PLC election. We've got a decision tool on our website, afpc.tamu.edu, where you can go in and explore that decision if you want. I'll say in some cases, in, you know, wheat, for example, looks like neither one's going to trigger. Cotton looks like neither one's going to trigger. So, you know, certainly for West Texas, in this part of the world, it looks like neither one of them are terribly promising. Again, it goes back to that point of why we need to see reference price increases, right? But I think the good news is, and my encouragement, my rule of thumb on making this decision, and by the way, it's a one-year decision. You're not making a five-year decision. You're just getting this one, under this extension, you get to make this decision one time for ARC and PLC for the 24 crop year. But my encouragement, my rule of thumb is to start with insurance. You know, start by looking at the area-wide policies. If you're a cotton grower, start by looking at stacks. And if you grow other crops, start by looking at SCO. And look at those first, because the decision you make there affects what's available, you know, between ARC and PLC. So if you take stacks, for example, on your cotton, you can't enroll the cotton base in ARC and PLC on that farm. Or if you took SCO on wheat, for example, you know, you're not going to be enrolling in ARC. So you could potentially go over and enroll in PLC. So all of that gets really complicated. I think the way to simplify it is talk to your crop insurance agent and start with your insurance decision. And I've heard, well, but, you know, but prices being what they are, what does that even matter? Well, I mean, cotton, if you look at cotton, for example, the price we're looking at going in, you know, and certainly it hasn't been set yet for the insurance year, but it is very, very similar to last year. And for growers who ended up taking stacks last year, particularly in counties where there was a widespread loss, you know, the payment's going to be, in a lot of cases, more than double what ARC would have been. And so in some respects, you know, yes, we may be in, you know, we may have more water this year for the growing season, and so we could end up with above average crop on cotton. That's certainly the case. But if we don't, if we end up in this, you know, a total loss scenario again, SCO or stacks can drastically outperform the ARC program in Title I. And so start with your crop insurance agent. Start by looking at the area-wide policies is my best advice right now. And then you'll call up our office if you have questions. Our phone number's on the website I mentioned. We've got folks here who will walk you through that election if you need help.
And once again, the website address.
afpc.tamu.edu. And you can also just look up our center on Google and it'll take you right there.
Dr. Bart Fisher is co-director of that Agriculture and Food Policy Center at Texas A&M on today's Agribusiness Report.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Again, our special guest today, Dr. Bart Fisher with the Ag and Food Policy Center.
Has your heater or air conditioner busted? Appliance broken? Computer crashed? Then you need an ARW home warranty. Home system and appliance repairs and replacements can cause stress and cost you thousands of dollars per year. With an A+ BBB rating and a top-rated home warranty company on Consumer Affairs and Trustpilot, ARW Home provides superior service, featuring the industry's lowest service call fee. ARW Home has warranty plans that cover your kitchen and laundry appliances, heating and air conditioning systems, electrical and plumbing systems, and much more. Call 800-626-0786 to customize your plan. Plus, ARW has partnered with Azurian to protect your new and used tablets, laptops, TVs, and other home tech from accidental damage and wear and tear. All plans come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Call 800-626-0786. That's 800-626-0786.
You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Again, our special guest today, Dr. Bart Fisher, co-director of the Ag and Food Policy Center.
Do you own a timeshare? Well, face the facts. You made a mistake. You made a bad purchase. A timeshare is not an investment. It's a money pit that continues forever. If you use your timeshare, that's great. But if you don't and you want to legally get out of your contract, call my friends right now at the Timeshare Exit Hotline. They're an experienced team of lawyers who help good people like you get out of a timeshare contract that they just don't want. Don't throw away your money on maintenance fees. Use it for things you really want. We can help you end your timeshare contract and stop the money drain immediately. If you are ready to move on with your timeshare, call our team right now.
Cancel your timeshare now with a free call. 800-952-8424. 800-952-8424. 800-952-8424. That's 800-952-8424.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
What were the major changes month over month in USDA's January milk production and price forecast? According to World Agricultural Outlook Board Chair Mark Jekinowski,
reduced our U.S. milk production forecasts for both 2023 and 2024,
reflecting
both lower inventories and slower growth in milk per cow.
Lower imports, higher exports are expected for both cheese and butter.
Global prices are generally strong and rising. U.S. prices have been showing some strength as well, but not rising quite to the extent of the global prices, so that's giving us some opportunities to export more and import less.
2024 product prices were adjusted up based on lower milk production forecast, with cheese prices the exception. A projected Class 4 milk price increase month over month was offset by a lower Class 3 price, resulting in the all milk price lowered by a quarter to 20 cents per pound. I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.